Best Media Award winner of 2025. The Greccia Radio 92 FM.
Where are you at?
Hey, how you doing, Don? I'm home.
Actually, I'm on my way to pick you up.
Okay, great. I'm waiting for you.
See you then. Bye.
It's 10 minutes past midday. Very good afternoon and welcome to the Community Hour. Greccia Radio 92 FM, and thank you to Tarla Ben for a lovely Gujarati program. Absolutely fantastic top 15. She'll be back with you next Wednesday. And what a fantastic song to start off with. Danza Kuduro. A little bit of sunshine. And this sort of music has to be played. And we say a very good afternoon to Shahid. How are you doing, Shahid?
Tari, I am so fine. Hello, good day, namaste, shalom, satri akal, assalamu alaikum to all of our listeners at Greccia Radio.
Absolutely. What do you think of the song?
The song is fantastic. Fantastic, so yeah.
Wake up and get me going song, isn't it?
It is, it is. I think, where's the sun? Where is the sun?
hold on, I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's nowhere to be. It was out when I came in earlier. It was there. But it's there, but it's not there now.
What was the song? The sun has got his hat on.
Yeah.
And he's coming out to play. I can't see him playing.
Yeah, he's got his sunglasses on now. Then this would be too bright today. How you been? How's your week?
Yeah, weeks are always short when you're a bit older, as you can understand. Not, because you're young at heart.
Excellent. Exactly. That's how you got to look at it. No, we're still young and budding and buzzing and looking forward to life.
Absolutely.
That's how it should be.
There's so much to learn.
It is. And it's all to do with health, isn't it? So if you're healthy, you know, wealth doesn't matter. Anything else doesn't matter. Healthy, you're happy. Happy at heart, happy in mind.
Health is wealth. You see, the thing is, you can be so wealthy and you can't eat anything.
No.
Because the doctor has told you can't eat anything.
You know, a lot of people are doing that. They got all the money, now they're spending the money on their health.
Absolutely.
You know, they never looked after themselves. They're busy making money. It's good to make money, but you know, then you've got to look after your health as well. You've got to balance everything. But when you're young, as you know, you think, oh, no, I'm invincible. I can do anything. I can go without food. I can go without exercising. I just want to do this, and that's it. That's my mission. It's to retire at 40.
Yes, no, but everything, you know, we know from life what happens is everything has a cause and effect.
It does.
And we know from our own history that there's cause and effect. And you're right, absolutely right. What happens is whatever you're doing today as a young person or even as an older person, if it's a good thing, it will have a good impact. So if you're exercising, you're moving around, you're doing something, you're learning something, it's so important. And you must try to continue that. I know it's not easy, but you should do it. It's really, really important.
I'm sure everyone in their mind knows these things. You know, they must at one time or the other realize as human beings that we've got to do this, we've got to do that. But you don't take it. You just take it for granted. You think automatically that, oh yeah, no, it's part of life. Let it go on. Let it carry on. We'll do. But by that time, it's too late.
It is. There's a word, isn't it? La parva.
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
It'll happen. You we've know. Got wonderful guests in the studio today.
We really have. And we're so lucky because obviously we talk about health and we talk about young people, older people, mixed people, all types of people everywhere, which is lovely. But today we're so lucky because we're going to be talking about a new program, a new system. But we're so lucky because today we have some special guests, and we have with us Kelly and Sev. They're from an organization or promoting something called the Luminova. Let me introduce both of them, and then they can tell us, first of all, tell us about yourselves, guys. Kelly first. Go.
Thanks so much, Shahid and Tari. Really nice to meet you both.
You too.
And thanks
welcome.
For having us.
Yeah, pleasure.
So I'm Kelly. I look after service growth and delivery at an organization called BFB Labs, which is the one that developed Luminova. So I guess my background is a little bit mixed. I actually fell into children's mental health through volunteering and then looking at helping to support in a different way in our mission in BFB Labs, which is the social enterprise. We are actually female-led and ethnic minority-led. We have a mission to really help improve access to support that is really proven and evidence-based so that we help as many children and people as we can.
Fantastic. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. Sev.
Hello. Thank You're you welcome. So much for having us today. My name is Sev, and I am one of the implementation leads at BFB Labs. Which basically means I look after our contract in Newham, which is very near and dear to my heart. In a past life, I was a primary school teacher, believe it or not. And so that's where my passion for children's mental health really started. And I realised that we have a lot of gaps in our system. We have gaps in providing children with accessible mental health support. So I transitioned from being a primary school teacher to work at BFB Labs. And that is where I fell in love with Luminova.
Oh, wow. It sounds really exciting. So the next question is, what is Luminova?
That's a very good question, actually. Kelly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're actually really grateful to be able to share more about this with you. And it's really about helping children build skills to feel less afraid of things, to be braver, and feel more confident and also have fun while learning this, because, you know, it can feel like a really challenging time, but actually it's quite a normal part of development and child development. So it's something that they can easily practice at home, at a relative's house, or anywhere where they have a quiet space. But in a nutshell, it's essentially an app that is also a game that actually helps the young person learn the skills to be able to break down their fears and worries into smaller challenges so that they can tackle it step by step.
So it's on a computer, I suppose, or a iPad or whatever.
It's actually on an app, so they can just download it from the App Store or the Play Store.
I mean, what I mean to say was that nowadays parents are trying to get kids off the handheld
absolutely
things, but this is driven, so it gives them more confidence and it builds up much more of a skill for them
absolutely. I think
with the technology
I think it's very much, I think we definitely hear a lot of parents that are talking about screen time, and we always try to say that actually it's not just the screen time, it's actually about, okay, is the technology helping us in a way that is productive, in a way that is actually useful? So actually, how can we harness technology for something that is good? So, you know, we all talk about, like, it's not the technology itself, it's the content within it.
That's what matters more, I suppose.
Exactly.
And what sort of age does that start at?
So it's for 7 to 12-year-olds, but actually we've had younger kids use it and older young people use it as well. So we very much think it's about stage, not age.
Age, that's a good one.
Yeah. I've actually spoke to a dad in Newham whose child was 4 years old, so she had just started reception, and of course it's their first time into formal education, and she was quite nervous about making friends, and she was really eager to make more friends. So I had a wonderful coffee morning at the school and met the dad, and I recommended Luminova because one of the kind of missions that it can support with is making new friends. So although it says 7 to 12, it's really down to parental or professional judgment, and his daughter really benefited from it, and she was able to make some friends.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, age is just age, and yeah. if you think it's going to help your child or a young person in yeah. your life, you know, something is always better than nothing.
Yeah, no, it lifts that wall up where the kids automatically, you know, make friends.
Yeah.
Automatically meaning that they're more confident.
Yeah.
They sort of awaken up and say, yeah, you know, make
yeah.
friends, talk to people, don't you be shy and sit in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of people our age, I would say, me and shy, back in the days, they used to sit in the corner. No one used to say anything. You know, children just sat there
yeah.
thinking for themselves, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know? But this is really good.
It's also, I mean, even as adults, it's not easy to make friends.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I think we just make the assumption that children can just go up to one another and say,
yeah.
hi, do you want to be my friend? But it's not like that.
It's not like that, no.
No,
reality,
they're still
yeah.
developing their personalities and figuring out, how do I say hello? How do I ask someone to play with me? So if we're able to instill that kind of resilience building skills and that kind of like bravery and courage in children, then I feel like we're succeeding.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it does make a lot of difference. And at that age as well, early stages, it makes a big impact in life.
100%. Yeah. Fantastic. We always talk about kind of building those lifelong skills, because it's not just about kind of helping them now, it's actually giving them those tools and skills to be able to, you know, cope in later life, because, you know, life is not going to be a straight line. There's always ups and downs, and it's unrealistic to kind of expect that it's going to be always happy the whole way. It is about giving them the tools to be able to kind of cope regardless of what situations might come at them.
So imagine I'm a parent. Well, I am a parent. I'm also a grandparent. So imagine I'm sitting with my grandchild who's 5. And I say, oh, download this. And we both download it. What am I going to see? What am I going to encounter? And what is he going to be fascinated by?
That's a very good question. So firstly, I probably would have a conversation with your grandchild or child and speak to them a little bit about, you know, I've noticed that sometimes you say that your tummy hurts before you go to school, or sometimes you say that you feel a little bit nervous going to a busy shopping centre like Stratford, for example, right? So you start this conversation, and then you would say, well, I've been recommended this app called Luminova, and it's a space adventure. It's a game, but it can also help you tackle the worries that you might be having. So what you would do if you were a parent is that you would go to our website. It's luminova.app/Newham.
Right.
And what's really wonderful about Luminova in Newham is that any child or any family who either attend a school in Newham or have a GP or an address in Newham can use Luminova for free.
Okay.
So there's no referral process. You don't need to speak to anyone about it. You literally go to our website and you put in your postcode. So even if you're a family that's living in temporary accommodation, but your child attends a school in Newham, you can use the school postcode.
Right.
So let's say that's the scenario. So you use the school postcode and then you fill out a really quick form.
Okay.
And when I say quick, I'm not just saying that because we want people to do it. It really does just take 5 minutes. It's very accessible. And you just put in a little bit of information about yourselves. Phone number, email address, how your child is doing, how things are in the family. And that's using a sliding scale as well. So there's pictures. So even if English isn't your first language, we've tried to make it as easy as possible. So once you've done that, this step's really important, because if you were to go and download the app first, you won't be able to access Luminova, because you need your special game key. It's a bit like a secret password to get in.
Okay.
And it's generated for each family.
Yeah.
Okay.
So once the parent or the carer or whoever that trusted adult is in that child's life, they will fill out the form and they'll get a text message. And within that text message, it has your special little password. Then you can download the app. Pop in your password, and then you get started. It's literally that easy. Again, you don't have to talk to anyone. You don't need a referral process. I know a lot of families really struggle with waiting and kind of being left in limbo. So, for example, you might go to the GP, and everyone's working so hard. All services are working under extreme pressures.
Yeah.
But when it's your child, and you want something for them, right? So, Luminova is there to, you know, give you something even if you are waiting. So then you start your Luminova process. You choose your missions, which is really lovely.
Oh, right. There's loads of options.
So basically, we try to. So way back when we conducted some research, and we found out that there were like the 15 most kind of common worries or fears that children yeah. had within that like specific age group.
Right.
So we've embedded that into the game.
Oh.
So a lot of parents might sometimes choose the missions for their children. I think, especially from my teaching background and also speaking to a lot of parents, sit down with your child and talk to them and say, okay, what would you like to work on?
Yeah.
As a parent, I think you know what your child should work on, but you want to also give them that opportunity to be involved.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah.
I think a child is more likely to engage in something if they feel like they've had some control over it.
Yeah.
So then you would choose your three missions, and then your child will get to choose which one they would like to work on. So it might be something as simple as making mistakes on schoolwork or a test, which interestingly is our top common selected mission across all of our contracts in this country.
Oh, wow.
Is that fear of making mistakes?
Of course.
We've got others like going to school.
Yeah.
It might be making friends, or another one that's really, really common at the moment is sleeping alone or sleeping in the dark. So a child will be able to work on something like that.
That sounds
very important. Very important.
It's great. And then they start their journey.
Yeah.
And they go through an intergalactic space adventure. It's done through a story. The story's so well thought out. It's very wholesome.
Okay.
Very pure. It's about helping all of these like inhabitants on planets, and they used to be a legendary hero, and the hero made everybody
Captain
brave, but they're gone, and we need you to go and get them again. It's really engaging.
It's like a hero's journey.
That's how you get access. It does. Star Trek. It is very spacey.
Captain Kirk. Yeah.
So that's how you would kind of start up and get access, and then that's kind of like the journey you will take on.
No, that's good. Yeah, because all children are. I mean, even we were scared of dark, sleeping in the dark.
Right.
You know, we all been through it. Then those natural, normal things, put on an app, and that's the best way to connect.
Absolutely. And there are even things that, you know, as adults are challenging. So, you know, one of the second most popular one is around, you know, to be comfortable speaking in front of a group. And in front of lots of people. So, that is probably the second most popular one. But that also relates to adults. I think we can all relate to that.
Mm-hmm. So lots of adults will be using this.
If they like space adventure games.
I think you also made a really, really interesting point about how it's normal to feel like that. And I think, again, that's something that's really at the core of our mission as a company. And it's like normalizing that idea that all of us have fears and worries. Nobody's perfect. We all worry. But if we don't talk about it and don't say it's okay to feel like that.
Good to share.
How would you ever know that your feelings are valid or if they're normal? I mean, if we don't encourage children to talk about it from an early age, then, you know, we've all had moments as adults where we don't feel comfortable talking about our mental health or how we're feeling. So, yeah, I think trying to make it normal and that everybody worries and it's okay if you worry. It's just that if these worries are starting to affect you every day and you don't feel like yourself anymore, that's the time you need to tell someone.
It is, I mean, in life, you know, when you think about it, as human beings, everything is normal to everyone. You know, but when you talk about it, then you find out a little bit more how this, what it is, and how is it really normal, or am I a little bit different than the others? You know, because human patterns are more or less the same all over the planet. You know, they might speak a different language, might do different things, but it's very, very similar. You know, I would say 95% similarities all around. But how long would you have to use it? Is there a time span which you would recommend during the daytime? How long you would use the app for?
So that's, again, a very good question. Thank you. And I think lots of families and parents and professionals would be interested to know this.
Yeah.
So in terms of usage, we would recommend 2 to 3 times per week.
And
the first session, the setup session, is a little bit longer. It's about 45 minutes, give or take. But that's because it's going through the story.
Yeah.
And it's going through something that is going to sound like a very big word, psychoeducation. It's not that much. It's not that complicated. Basically, what that means in a nutshell is that we're teaching the children how to understand how their body feels and how their body connects to their mind.
Okay.
So again, you might feel nervous and your heart is beating really fast. Mm-hmm. Again, a child might not know that because yes. it's their first time on this planet too. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're only 7, you're only 12. They might not know that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So with that part of it, that kind of educating part of it, that takes a little bit longer. And then after that, the second time they use it, the third time they use it, it's always probably around 15, 20 minutes, give or take. Depends on how quick the child is and how tech savvy they are. I mean, I see some children who are like 2 years old use an iPad better than me. It's crazy. So yeah, we would say 2 to 3 times per week. Yeah. However, we tried to make Luminova as flexible as possible. This world is a very busy world that we live in. Parents are so busy.
Of course they are.
Everyone.
Bless them. Like, I don't know how they do it. It's so incredible. So we want families to use Luminova in a way that works for them. Your child might want to use it every day. That's absolutely fine. They might use it 2 to 3 times a week, like we say, or they might use it once a week. And sometimes each week it might change. Maybe 1 week your child is feeling a little bit more nervous than another week, so they might use it a little bit more. There's no cap, really. The only cap we have is that after half an hour, because we want to promote positive screen time, we have an inbuilt timer into the game.
Right.
So one of our characters will fly into the screen and say, "Hey, Luminor, it's too dark to adventure now. Let's go back to the home base and try again tomorrow." So it very gently, very softly kind of closes it to an end, and then the child will be able to access it again another day.
Yeah, I know, that's a good idea. Actually, that's a very good idea, because if the app tells you, then you say, and they accept it. But if you tell them, no, 10 more minutes.
Exactly. There's no negotiating with Luminova. We're done, so we're done.
Exactly, That's very good. That's a good thing to have in there. Yeah. On that note, we're going to take a short commercial break, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
Online, on your mobile, on 92FM and DAB Digital. It's...
Right, welcome back. And as we were talking about health and issues, and in there, technology comes in, and that technology is—it sounds absolutely fantastic, Sal. What you were telling us earlier, it sounds really, really good. You know, technology has to be implanted, and it has to be bought in a nicer way, like you said. You know, the app tells you stop; it's time to do some other things now, more normal.
It's absolutely fascinating, and I think one of the things you touched upon, both of you actually, or all three of you, is this concept of discussing, opening up.
Yeah.
There's lots of things, particularly in our communities, Tari, we try to cover, domestic violence, death, this, that, the other. And I find that we need to be more open, because if we're open, then we can discuss.
Yeah.
I'll give you a very good example. My grandson, I always talk about my grandson. Yeah. So he's 5. He's fascinating. He loves electronics and everything like that. But the other day, he learned about the life cycle. Okay. And then everything was around death.
Yeah.
And this is something we don't look like to talk about.
No.
And he's talking about death to us.
Yeah.
And he's saying, so he said, so his name is Idris, and he's got a friend called Idris.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, my friend hasn't come for the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Maybe he's dead.
Oh, no.
But the thing is, you see,
he's
because you see, as soon as we hear that, we're thinking, oh, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's important, because death is part of life as well,
part
isn't it?
Life,
it's part of what we're going to go through.
Absolutely.
And he's picked that up, and then he kept on talking about it. We went outside, and people are looking at this child, and they're thinking, this guy, what they done to him?
He's just obsessed with death.
He's moved on now.
No, actually, Shai, you know, just a quickie, you're not the only one. My grandson did the same.
Yeah.
He's into like paramedics and all that. Same age, 5, and he talking about death. What happens? How do you explain to a child when they ask you these questions? So there must be something in their mind which they want to know.
They're fascinating. I mean, his next thing obviously is now, how was the world created? And I know his father struggles. What am I supposed to say to this kid?
How do you simplify it enough
that's right.
to understand?
Maybe Luminova, maybe.
Or ask AI, or ask GBT, whatever it is.
AI.
But it is really important. I think it's so important to have projects and programs like this, because otherwise, a lot of times they're playing on things like SimCity or whatever it is, whatever's the latest thing for them, and parents don't understand. And if they No, there's a good control, and it's actually devised by people who are doing it for the purpose of raising the child and supporting the child. That's very, very important, because often they can get into the wrong things. I'll give you another good example. During the COVID period, one of my other grandchildren, what happened is he got fascinated by superheroes, but anti-superheroes.
Yeah.
Okay. So all he would talk about is, oh, the dark Spider-Man or the dark. And the thing is, when we started looking at this, it wasn't just about, oh, dark. It actually meant quite dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he got himself involved in something, and he's only about 6 or 7.
Mm.
And then we found out that he's, because of the COVID, he's lost 2 years of his education. And then he's really, really struggling. And so my son actually sat down with him and spent a lot of time with him, actually finding out what he was obsessed with. And up to that point, we thought, yeah, he's fine. Most parents, and you're absolutely right, the other thing you talked about earlier is parents, I think, really important that they do spend a lot more time with their children, but sometimes in life you can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, if you're struggling as a carer, if you're doing, you know, let's say as a care worker, which my wife does, you're outside, you're working, you know, 60 hours a week, you come home, the last thing you want to do is talk about, oh, let's have a little session with my children.
Yeah.
It is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
So how are parents going to cope with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you raise a very good point, and I think, Sarah, feel free to kind of jump in on this as well. But I think we've tried to design it so that it is as easy as possible. So it is child-led, and it is something once, you know, as Seb mentioned, once the parent downloads it and then sets it up. Well, it can be a parent or an auntie or somebody that's a trusted adult.
Yeah.
They then kind of do a bit of the setup, and then they hand it over to the young child or the young person, and then they can kind of go about it on their own, and then we kind of bring the parent and the carer in at various points just to kind of keep them involved, keep them up to date, and also to kind of help with reflections and things like that, so that, you know, that the parent is involved, and we know that it also helps kind of improve outcomes as well. So, but we try and make it in a digestible way. It doesn't feel like something that's really daunting. It's not like this big thing that they have to like read through and then they have to kind of memorize everything and then try and do it. It actually kind of facilitates the involvement in a really easy way. And we're very lucky to have been kind of creating Luminova with lots of really experts in the field. So we actually, when we first co-created it, it was, you know, around, okay, what is the problem that we're trying to solve, which is around, you know, how do we support young people in a way that is really using proven therapeutic approaches that are really well evidenced and well researched. And but then also creating, co-creating it with young people and their parents, their families, the school staff that they interact with clinic clinicians and academics as well. So yeah, I think we're very lucky that it has been really robustly, you know, developed, but also we're lucky that we have the opportunity to work with, you know, the NHS, and in Newham especially, we are commissioned by ELFT, which is East London NHS Foundation Trust, and the CAMS team there, which is Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. You know, and the well-being in Newham schools, the WINS team is really the one that has been working with us. I think they've come to meet you as well. So yeah, I think it is very much, you know, to your point, Shahid, earlier, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yes.
Like what is really effective and what is really kind of science-based and what is really kind of proven. And, you know, we're registered with things like the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency. So the same body that regulates things like the vaccines and the medicines that you take. So yeah, there's a lot of checks and balances that need to be in place to make sure that it is something that is trusted.
So it's developing all the time. You're looking at new ideas and new additions to the app.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we always try and take like feedback on board. So there was one mission on there, which is around, actually, you talk about COVID. After COVID, a lot of clinicians were telling us that, and families were telling us that, you know, their child is really afraid of being sick and of vomiting.
Yeah, of course.
And so there is like, the technical word for it is emetophobia. And so we kind of added that into Luminova within the missions and then kind of break it down so that, you know, it helps people kind of get over things like this. So it's quite clever in that way.
No, it seems very clever. So obviously it's in Newham. So I'm in Waltham Forest. So is it coming to Waltham Forest?
Or Red Bull.
Oh, well, actually, I would love to say it is at the moment, but it's not currently in Waltham Forest. I think what we would love to work with the NHS, the kind of powers that be in Waltham Forest to kind of make sure that it is available for families in there. But it's not currently in Waltham Forest. Within kind of this area, we're in Newham, we're in South London, so we're in Greenwich and Bexley.
Yeah.
And then we're in other parts of the UK as well.
Yeah.
So we're in Hertfordshire, we're in Lincolnshire, Herefordshire, Worcestershire. I don't know how far you're
fascinating.
We cover all of London, so people are listening all over London.
They really are, and it's important.
And like Newham, Redbridge, Waltham Forest, all the surrounding boroughs around here, this sort of service would be incredible.
Yeah, we'd love to talk to sort of the public health and the services around there so that we can try and support
them
any
way
we can.
Because, you know, so at the radio station and the other work we do, we realize, particularly with young people, as a slightly older group than you mentioned, the amount of mental health that they're going through. There was one stage where we found it very difficult, and especially in our communities, it's still a big thing talking about mental health. But there's lots of young people, particularly who might have gone through the COVID period. The other thing is they might have seen loss. They might have seen someone passed away. There's that. The other thing is, so you've started with younger people. Is there any aspirations to move to people who are slightly older? Why that's important? Because then there's got to be some sort of support for those people. But the other thing which is really important to ask is, from the young people that have had it and they've used it, have you seen any change over a period of time? So maybe two or three questions there at the same time.
Absolutely.
I'll add one as well. How long has this been going on?
Wow. Okay, I'll try and remember all of those. Maybe I'll take the last one first, Terry.
Yes.
So we've actually been working in Newham for the past 3 or 4 years. So we've had hundreds of families use it, and like across the UK, about 20,000 children and young people, supported by their families, have used it. In kind of Newham and the surrounding areas, it's over 800. Your question is the most important one. I think a lot of families kind of tell us the stories about sort of how it's helped them and how it's helped their children. And I think in terms of the numbers, about 90% of children, young people, their parents report seeing a kind of what we call reliable improvement, which means that it's a significant improvement or stabilization. So it's important that the child is not getting worse, but also that they're improving.
That's fantastic.
In terms of kind of some of the, because I think, Sev touched on the point that, a lot of services are really stretched at the moment. And that is through no fault of the professionals that are delivering it. It's just, resources are always challenging. But that means that a lot of kids aren't able to get support in a timely way. One thing that we've been able to do is to provide that timely access, but also, to provide access to the diverse communities that we represent. So I'm Malaysian, and our kind of founder is of Indian descent, and our other kind of senior leadership team, she's Nepalese, so this is something that is really close to our heart. And we have about 70%, maybe more, in Newham that are from ethnic minorities. We know that around 42% are South Asian or mixed Asian backgrounds. So it's about being able to reach these diverse communities that we all represent. And one thing that a lot of kind of the what we call kind of traditional services, I guess the face-to-face services, typically we see more girls access those services, just because I think of kind of like who presents to those services. But actually we are very mindful of being very gender neutral in how Luminova is developed. So we actually see in Newham about just over 50% of boys. So it's actually kind of supporting those that otherwise might not get access to mental health services. And then finally, I think there's a lot of talk about special education needs and disabilities, and about how we support young people that might have SEND, which is the acronym, And actually, we see about 27% of children and young people in Newham have SEND. And this actually looks like it's more than what you would expect to see in the population. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
It does. I'm going to still ask you one of those, that question again. For the people who are now past that particular age, so they're now 15, 16, 17. We also know, because we work with lots of younger people as well, mental health is really, really high.
Yeah.
Is there any plans to develop something for that particular age group? Because that's a particular age group that probably needs something very, very similar. I know, so from your background as a teacher, and we work with lots of teachers as well, I'm sure they would like something like this.
Yeah. It's really a very topical question because, funnily enough, we are actually, we have developed something for 13
you heard
plus.
It first.
You heard it here first. Yeah, so we're actually about to, well, we have just piloted something called Ocean. In Merseyside.
Okay.
So it's spelled O-S-H-N.
Okay.
It's not currently available yet because it's kind of, we're working with our academic partners, an independent evaluation just to make sure that it is, you know, all checks all the boxes, dots all the I's and crosses all the T's. And yeah, we're hoping to launch it later this year. So Ocean is so named because it's got an ocean theme. So Luminova has a space adventure theme. Ocean has an ocean theme. And it is really designed and has been designed with kind of 13 to 25 year olds that might be experiencing low mood or might be struggling a bit with their motivation. Just because there is, we know that there is quite a lot of challenge around that at the moment. And it basically uses, so similar to Luminova, which uses cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a really proven kind of therapeutic technique that is recommended by NICE, which is the National Institute for Clinical Excellence. So it uses similar techniques where it kind of breaks things down and then helps the young person do more of the things that matter to them by kind of helping them understand what is important to them, so what we call their values, and then also helping them to kind of suggest little activities that can that they can do when they're feeling low. We've all been there, haven't we? Like when we're feeling a bit low energy, you kind of like don't really want to, you know, you put things off or you don't really want to do that. And, you know, to the extreme, you know, some people might struggle with self-care. So things like that.
No, it's so positive. And I think, you, obviously, I'm going to ask you the next question. 50 plus. And the reason why is that because all the things that you talked about, first of all, we work with that particular group. First of all, with that particular group, they're not, let's say, not very computer savvy. Okay, so they might not understand digital, which can be left. But the problem is, as we, so one of the things we're looking at is, as an organization called Blossom, and obviously we're working with the radio station as well, that a huge number of the of our listeners are from that particular age group. And when you're going through things in life and then families are not there to support you, you don't have the mechanisms to go onto digital platforms, you're suffering your mental health, although when you're older you might not call it mental health, but it's still mental health, they're suffering much more.
Yeah.
And the other thing that they're suffering, which young people are to an extent, but they do have a bit more opportunity, and that's when you're 40 plus. Lots of people are starting realizing many employers are not willing to touch them. And then at 50, no one's really, you know, giving them a chance, especially when it comes to the world of work. And then after that, you know, the way the Western world particularly, and, you know, the rest of the world is like this, at 65, you sort of retire and then you sit back and play golf or something like that. But for a lot of people, they don't have that opportunity to do anything like that. They're just sitting at home. And they're worried, and they've got mental health, and they're thinking, oh, my children have let me down, or whatever is happening in their lives. So they're going through the same sort of struggles. So perhaps the next stage for the organisation, and I'm really glad you mentioned Ocean, because at least you're moving to the next stage. Maybe in a few years' time, we need something for that particular group as well.
I think that's really fair. I think that with a lot of the different cohorts in our society, we kind of often forget that everybody at some point in their life needs support.
Yes.
And I guess if I flip it the other way, that's why Luminova is here, because we wanted it to be an early intervention. Now imagine being 40 or in your 40s or in your 50s, and that's the first time you've ever had time to sit down and confront any of the mental
Absolutely.
Health issues that you have.
Absolutely.
So by providing Luminova at such an early age, we're hoping that because we're embedding those skills from early on, it will prevent that from happening later on in life, where you are in your 40s, you are in your 50s, and you're like, hang on a minute, what's going on? Like, I just feel so isolated
Absolutely.
And alone.
Absolutely.
So my hope and dream is that one child who's used Luminova now, by the time they get to 40 and 50, if that feeling comes back again, they'll remember and be like, actually, I know what this is, and I know what I can do. I'm going to go out and try and find a community, try and get myself out there, go for walks. I'm going to go and try and, I don't know, invest in a hobby of some sort. So I think, yes, there's a huge gap in what we're providing for our older generations. So I guess in one way we're trying to tackle it at an earlier stage so that it doesn't get
no,
to that
no,
point. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And I think you're absolutely right. One of the things, when we started this program, we talked about root causes. So if we start looking at root causes, I'm, you know, so grateful, because obviously if you're looking at young people now, once they're 50 and they're 60, they will have the tools to be able to deal with it. At the same time, I'm obviously worried about those people who are in that particular age group. What I would say to that particular age group, and I'm part of that as well, is that we need to come together. We need to talk about those issues, because issues are very, very important. And just like I learned from my grandson, it's important to talk about things. So he talked about death. So it's important to talk about it, because it affects all of us. And the other thing is, it's not about us sometimes. It's about the people we might leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who are the ones who are struggling, sometimes it might be financial decisions we make.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it might be, how do we cope with this?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in lots of our families, you all will know this, Tari will know this, there's a big reliance in it, particularly on the men
yep.
folk or the older person in the family.
Yep.
And then when that person goes, everyone's sort of lost.
Because they're all dependent on him or her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so those is really, really fascinating. So you know, I think credit to you guys, because you're doing something quite special and something that's going to hopefully help generations. Mm. You've almost, I mean, the next stage is you need to create a book of life.
We'll consult you when we get to that, Shahid.
The philosopher, Shahid, the philosopher.
Book of life.
But I think you know, when we started talking about sort of, you know, a lot of these topics, like they are generally difficult, particularly for people of the older generation and of our background as well. Like, you know, we don't normally talk about these things. So I think one thing that we're always quite mindful of is how do we, you know, we don't have to call it mental health. It is about being well.
And
about being well in both mind and body. And how do we kind of enable that in a way that is just doesn't feel like a burden and is fun? So I think that's why we ended up doing it.
No, it's fascinating.
As a gamification way.
It's fascinating. I mean, one of the things we do, obviously, working with Tari, that's one, reaching out to the community. The other thing at Blossom, which we've done with the in Newham, so mental health, South Asian women.
Mm.
Now, it was said to us by lots of professionals, South Asian women, mental health, they don't like talking about it, it's really difficult. We disproved that.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we disproved that is that we created something similar to you, but it was face-to-face, and it's called Togetherness Cafes, which I'm going to change to Togetherness Villages. And the idea behind it is people, when they come to somewhere where they're not judged, they're there for a particular reason, they enjoy themselves, they get on with each other, they make friends, they have some arguments, as people do, they learn from each other, they support each other. And what we found over a period of time, particularly the women we were working with, and then we brought in the men as well, we could not stop them talking about anything. Mm-hmm. They want to talk about mental health. They talked about their issues because we created that safe space. Mm. And I think what you've done is done it on a platform, if you like.
Yeah.
So that safe space is very, very important. 100%. People need their safe space.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right about safe spaces, because at the end of the day, as humans, you know, we want to be able to have control and space, and that ability to kind of, you know, feel that we have that connection with other people. And yeah, whether that's virtually or whether that is in person, I think if some of these principles are applied, then, you know, hopefully we can support a lot more people. No,
you know, from our generation, we definitely understand that. Tari and me understand, because our space, our safe space often was parents, mothers generally. Because when you went to, that's why whenever you ask anyone, particularly in our communities and even other communities, as soon as you mention mother, it becomes very sentimental. But the thing is, the reason why is those were our safe spaces. We could ask our mums about most things. Dads were a bit difficult because they were busy.
Always working, hardly there. All different shifts.
And we could play our mums as well sometimes, you know.
Definitely. You know, you brought back memories. Nova was like my English teacher, Mrs. Nova.
Oh, really?
I hope with favourable memories, Tari.
Very favourable, honestly. You know, any lesson I didn't like, she used to say, come with me. I used to give me special lessons. So she used to teach English. And my English was a little bit weak at that time, so it was brilliant. And sometimes I used to just play along with her and say, I want to be with you.
But you know, you mentioned something really interesting there, Tari, about play. Actually, like, how can we help young people, especially, you know, but also adults, like, how do we help them explore new things, but through the medium of play? Because actually, like, creatively, we all learn through stories, we all learn through play, and actually it's about, like, trying and falling down and trying again.
We've got 1 minute, but quickly I'm going to tell you, I used to work for Atari video games. I did all of that, you know, those in those days, back in the days, in television, Mario, all of that. So I've experienced that. I mean, I was in charge of the workshop there, so that you brought to back it into life now with life. That's what you've done. Everyone was stuck on Atari video games. Everyone had to have one. You know, I used to go to all the celebrities' houses, and they used to have it there. I used to repair it for them, and, you know, give them lessons.
That's really cool.
So I've had all of that. So please give us all the information where they can get in touch, where they can download. We've got 40 seconds.
Okay, well, they can download it from, well, you can look for Luminova from the App Store, the Play Store, LUMI NOVA, and that's an app. They can sign up from, if you're from Newham, you can sign up on luminova.app/Newham, NEWHM. And they can kind of register, as I've said, and then get access straight away. So it takes literally just a couple of minutes.
Brilliant. So I hope you expand to all the boroughs and all the UK.
Thank you.
And all the success you should have.
Thank you. I wanted to leave you with one quote from a family in Newham that kind of used Luminova. They said, lots of improvements. This is from a dad. Lots of improvements in my daughter's personality. She's developing. She's speaking up. She's coming out with lots of different ideas. And the teacher was saying that, you know, the children are becoming a lot more articulate. Also, teachers are noticing differences for kids in class, more willing to answer questions, becoming a lot braver, willing to try new things and challenge themselves, which they didn't do before.
That's a great testimony.
Kelly and Sev, thank you very much for coming to 92 FM Nagarita Radio. We love to see you again.
Thank you for having us. Thanks, Tari.
Thank you
to listeners.
Well, Tari, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye. Coming up next is the Bollywood program, and enjoy that. Enjoy the afternoon. Look, the sun's come out.
Yes, he's taken his towel.
It is there. We knew it's there. It's only taken an hour of our convincing. Take care. Bye-bye.